Amen is right. Amen. Am I on? Can you hear me? I think so. Yes. Thank you, Aaron, for reading that this morning. We are in a series in the book of Colossians. If you've been joining us the last few weeks, that's where we have been, and we will be for quite some time. We are going verse by verse through the book, and we are only in starting at verse 3 today, so in chapter 1. So if you haven't been with us, you're all right. You're not too far behind, so we're doing all right. If you noticed that Aaron actually read through verse 10, but in your bulletin notes, we're only going through verse 8 today. There's a reason for that. Aaron didn't mess up, and I didn't mess up in telling him that. I wanted him to read through verse 10. Because what we're going to look at today in these verses 3 through 8, is Paul's prayer of thanksgiving for the Colossians. He's thankful for something about them, but actually I want to see this prayer of thanksgiving actually in the context of something greater, and that's actually two prayers that he prays. Did you notice that in what Aaron read? There's actually two types of prayers. The one that starts in verse 3, he says, "We thank God always for you." That's a prayer of thanksgiving. And then whenever you get to verse 9, where we'll be at next week, it's the second prayer. "So we have never stopped ceasing to pray for you." It's a prayer request. And we'll get into that, what he's praying for them, next week. But I want us to see in the context of both prayers that Paul gives, his prayer of thanksgiving here. It's a bigger context. It's not just one prayer. We're going to look at the first one, though, today. His prayer of thanksgiving. I know you just heard it. I want to read it one more time, not all the way through 10, but just focus in on this first prayer, the prayer of thanksgiving. Let me read through it again, and you can't hear too much the Word of God read. So let's do that. Starting in verse 3, what Aaron had just read. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints," why is he praying thankfully for them? "Because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth and the gospel, which has come to you as indeed the whole world, and it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you. Since the day that you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit." So this is the prayer of thanksgiving. Next week we'll get into what he continued to read on. In verse 9, a prayer request that Paul gives. The main point that I really want us to get out of this text today, and what I think really Paul's trying to say in verses 3 through 8, is that our salvation should have an impact on us every single day. Did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, your relationship with God, your salvation in Him, your being made new, should have a daily impact on your life. You shouldn't go a day forgetting about your redemption. You're a new being, and in that you walk every day, not missing a day. You are new, a new life, and every day of that life is impacted by Him who made you new. Every day. Every day. Our problem, though, right, and if you're being honest, and I'm being honest, sometimes we struggle to be aware of the daily impact, right? Maybe we even go seasons where we forget about the impact of being made new in Christ Jesus. Sometimes it falls to the back of our minds. We get busy. We forget about the daily impact and ramifications. I think back to when I was in college in Springfield, and I was actually had to think about the actual position that I held in I think it's a club, philosophy club, so it wasn't, I maybe classified as a fraternity, but it was philosophy club, so it's, you know, not super fun and cool. But I was the treasurer of Phi Sigma Tau, maybe it was Honor Society, something, I don't know, and I was the treasurer of it, and you know what, I honestly, there was so many days, more days than not, that I went by, and that didn't even cross my mind. I actually completely forgot, and I had to look it up this morning. What was that organization even called that I was a part of, and what was my official capacity within this club? I was a treasurer, but if somebody came up to me any random day and said, hey, did you get that done? Because since you're the treasurer, you know, and all, I honestly probably wouldn't have, because I forgot more days than not that I was even a treasurer for Phi Sigma Tau. This should not be the case when it comes to our position as a redeemed person on this planet in Jesus Christ. That should not be the case. I forgot my position oftentimes that I was the treasurer of Phi Sigma Tau, but you and I should not go a single day forgetting that we are made new in Christ Jesus. We should remember every day and be impacted every day and see the ramifications every day of our salvation in Him. And so with that being said, that's kind of the big picture. That's what I think Paul's saying here in verses 3 through 8. And I want us just to unpack that a little bit and go just clause by clause. How is Paul just kind of trying to say that to us, that we should have a daily impact on our lives with our salvation every day? Every day. Well, I'll make it easy. Two effects that we have right now, today, from our salvation. This should have on our lives, and actually to make it even better, both of them start with T, so that's really helpful. Worked hard to come up with that. Two impacts or two effects from our salvation on our lives today, both starting with T. The first one would be Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, that we should be thankful people every day. We should be joyfully thankful for our salvation every day. There shouldn't be a day that goes by where we aren't just thankful and made excited about our salvation in Christ. Look at what Paul says here, verse 3. We always thank God. We always thank Him. Always. Every day. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And I want you to actually see that kind of the big picture here, why he's thankful. If we go back to the text, we always thank God. Why? He gives like this clause, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, ever since that we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love that you have for all the saints, ever since all then, we've been thanking God. Why? Because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Summary, Paul says, we are thankful always for your salvation, for your hope of heaven that you look forward to in all of eternity. That makes me excited. That's what Paul's saying here. Makes me excited and thankful every day. Paul is always thankful for salvation. And it's interesting, notice this. He's not just thankful for his own salvation, daily impacted with thanksgiving for his own salvation. It's not his salvation that makes him excited. I'm sure that also is true. But in this text, he says, we always thank God for the hope that is laid up in heaven for you, Colossians. So just picture this with me, okay? Let's try to really like put this into practical reality. Paul's talking about something happening in his life. Let's picture that. Paul is getting on his hands and knees, probably multiple times throughout the day, because he says always, thanking God. And Timothy might be right there with him in the jail cell, and he's just praising God, thanking God for salvation. And Timothy's watching that, or Epaphras is watching that. But then they notice, Paul's not thanking God in his prayers for his own salvation. He's thanking God for somebody else's salvation, and he's getting that passionate about it. What a testimony that is, that it should be to you and I, of how precious salvation is and how excited we should be about it when Paul got excited and passionate about somebody else being saved. How much more should you and I always be thankful for our own salvation? Daily impacts of our salvation. The first one, thanksgiving. We should be thankful every day. We should always. And that word, it always, I mean, that really hits to the heart of it, always. Even in the darkest days, The hardest ones? I mean, think about this. Always, Paul? Always? It's a lot. What about whenever we receive that horrible diagnosis and the doctor says there's no chance? I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. What about those days when you get those phone calls? Paul, always? What about whenever you get the phone call about a tragic death of somebody that you love, that you can't walk through life without in your mind? What about when you find out about that tragic death? Always, Paul? What about those financial pits where you just feel like there's no way out? You just can't do anything. You're just stuck. You're buried deep down. You don't know what to do. Always, Paul, thankful? Thankful? Darkest of seasons? Paul says, yes. Yes. Maybe everything else in your life is hard and there's tragedy, horrible news around every corner of life. But hear me, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have very good reasons to be thankful that day, because you're made new in Him. I know all the other external circumstances, they might be bleak and horrible to walk through, but hear me, you have reason to be thankful always for salvation and the hope that is laid up in heaven for us. I was talking with I don't want to knock this off. That's important. I was talking with Hannah the other day, Hannah Greider. She was just kind of telling me her story and some of it. It'll take a long time to hear all your stories. She was just telling me part of hers, and particularly a tragic time in her life, her family. And her family and her had been wronged in a horrible, horrible way. And in a way that in many, many ways, family members and even herself, their world was just shook. Never to be the same because of somebody wronging them. And she told me, though, very quickly, she turned the story. She was telling me about it. She's like, but I want to tell you, it was absolutely incredible. My aunt and how she responded to it. Her aunt was just tragically impacted and wronged for the rest of her life, impacted. And yet she said, I was blown away by the forgiveness that she had on that person who wronged her. Just incredible. And Hannah even said, and this just impacted me so much, she said, you know what, honestly, she taught me so much what it means to be forgiving in that. Because she was like, how can you be forgiving to this person for what they did to us? And Hannah, you said, her response to Hannah was, well, I was forgiven by Christ and all the wrongdoings that I've done. How could I not forgive others? And so Hannah, in hearing that from her aunt, learned so much about forgiveness. When anyone else in the world would say, no way, we're not forgiving this person for what they did. But we, as Christians, and the hope that we have, can show them the power of forgiveness. When nobody else would forgive, I think we can do the same thing when it comes to Thanksgiving. When no one else would be thankful, when all their circumstances would say, no way, I'm not being thankful for today. Do you see what's happening in my life? But you and I, and the hope that we have in heaven, we can say, yeah, but I'll show you, I can still be thankful. Just like when we have no reason to say, I could forgive, we will. When we have no reason to be thankful, but we do, and we'll show it. You see that? We have every reason to be thankful. And the world out there wouldn't understand that, right? Because they don't have a hope laid up in heaven given by God, but we can show them when all else would tell you, don't be thankful. Jesus Christ gives us a reason to say, we will always be thankful. Always be thankful. But I don't want to go too quick through this. How can we know that a celebration is in order for yourself or a loved one? That Thanksgiving is in order. How can you know that? If there's no salvation, there's no Thanksgiving, right? If you don't have a hope laid up in heaven for you, there's not too much to be thankful about. How can we know? How can we know that we have reason to be thankful, that we have reason to rejoice? Paul says, if we go back to the text, we always thank God when we pray for you, and we know that it's because of their salvation. When did he know it's all right for me to start celebrating? It's all right for me to be thankful for their salvation. When did he know it was good? He was clear to start thanking God for that. He said, ever since that we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for the saints. Are you ever worried about your salvation, your assurance? And instead of being thankful for it, you're actually more worried about it. I can relate to that. In the past, I've always just really been worried about that. These texts really speak to us in those moments. Paul said, we confidently thanked God every day for your salvation ever since we saw two things in your life. Ever since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. And ever since we heard of your love that you have for the saints, that is the church. Now I want you to know that you are only saved by one of those two things. You're only saved by faith in Jesus Christ. You're only saved by one of those, but hear me. Faith in Jesus Christ never comes without a love for his church. That's his bride. Let me just say that in this book, as you start reading this, God has a profound love for his church, and he uses language saying, that is my bride. I'm bound to her in union. If you have faith in Jesus Christ and you love him, you also are to love his church. And when Paul heard, okay, these Colossians, they have faith in Christ and they love his church, he says, I have no reason to question. Let's start thanking God. They're saved. Paul had no reason to question, but he had every reason to celebrate. Hear me, for your sake, you have every reason to be thankful to God. Always, if you know in your heart, you have faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins. When you have faith in Jesus Christ and you love his church, hear me, you have good reason to thank God every day for your salvation. One last note that I have about joyful anticipation of heaven and the joy that that should bring and the excitement, the thanksgiving. This hope that's laid up for us in heaven, I think that's verse 5, verse 4. This hope of paradise should be mentioned in our gospel presentations to people that don't know Jesus Christ. Okay, hear that. Here, let me say that again. This hope that's laid up in heaven for you and I should be mentioned when we are evangelizing to people and telling them about the gospel. Let me just read this. This isn't just Isaac's little opinion. I want to throw that in there, side note. Let's go to the text here. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith and the love that you have for the saints, because of the hope that was laid up for heaven in you, we're thanking God for that. Of this, you have heard before in the word of truth. Okay, so see that. They heard about the hope of heaven that was stored up for them when they heard about the hope of truth. When they heard about the gospel, what was laid up in heaven for them was mentioned. I think you and I, when we're evangelizing, we can oftentimes make our evangelism all about, you just got to get out of hell. You're heading to hell, get out of there. You just got to be saved from that. But Paul is saying, you also need to mention what they're being saved to. They're being saved out of hell, but hear me, the hope that is laid up in heaven, they heard about that when the gospel was presented to them. So it should be when we present the gospel to others. Not just, you got to get out of hell, but you got to get in relationship with God and be with him for eternity. Don't just make your evangelism condemnation evangelism. Your evangelism should be, let me tell you what you can have in God. That's what he says. It's important that we don't miss that there. We need to include the hope of heaven when we tell people about the gospel. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't forget it. That's a crucial element. Crucial element to evangelizing. Mention eternity with God. mean, what better way to convince someone to give their life to God than hear about the glorious majesty of who he is and say, you get to be with him every day for all of eternity. All right. That's the first daily impact. I want to zoom out and just remind us, what are we looking at here? Paul, in verses 3 through 8, is telling us the daily impact of salvation, particularly two ways that it impacts us. One, we should be daily thankful for what we have. There shouldn't be a day that goes by where you and I aren't thankful for the salvation we have. That's the first T. Second T, transformation. In our thankfulness, we should daily commit our lives to transformation when we have salvation in Jesus Christ. We don't stay stagnant. We're moving, always moving forward in transformation, life transformation, daily impacted by salvation, by constantly being made more like Jesus Christ. You could call that conformity to his being, to his character. Let me keep reading here. We're always thanking God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, when we heard about your faith, and when we heard that you loved the saints, we knew that we could thank God for the hope that's laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard about when you heard the word of truth, the gospel. Verse 6, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world, bearing fruits and increasing as it did among you. Let's just stop there. Notice that when the gospel hit them and they were saved people, what did it start doing amongst them? It started bearing fruits. It's a very scary thing for a person to say they're saved but never seeing fruits come out of that salvation. Just hear that. It's a scary thing if you're to claim that you are in relationship with the Almighty, Holy God, and he has taken over dominion of your life, but not a single thing has changed in your life. When we are saved, when we are step into a relationship with God, we should not only be daily thankful, but we should be constantly being transformed and conformed to his image. Daily impacts of salvation. Now, I want to stop and thank for just a second, because fruits is kind of a churchy term, right? Fruits, works, it's kind of churchy terms. What does it mean to see fruits from the gospel in your life? Let's get down to real practical terminology here and see what does fruits mean? Most commonly, I think we would say it's a change in your lifestyle, right? The way you're living practically. That's the fruits. Practical living. Conformity. You conform to the character that we see of Jesus Christ. You kill sin. This is fruits. You end the addiction that you once struggled with. You stop the bad habit. You stop hanging out with the bad influences. You stop the foul language that you once just regularly lived in, right? I mean, these are fruits of being made new in Christ. And not only do you kill things, but you bring things into newness in your life. You do daily devotions in the Word. You start serving the community around you, right? These are fruits. You become prayerful. You begin giving generously, right? These are practical fruits. Well, let me say this. This is important. Let's not stop our definition of fruits with that. Let's not stop our definition of fruits with practical lifestyle changes, because I think it's a lot more than that. It's not just conformity. So to the person who, right now, listening to me, hear me, please. To the person who is down on themselves because they're not seeing as much practical lifestyle change in their life, I feel like then they just have no fruits. There's nothing practically changing. I'm working on it. I just can't do it. Nothing's changing. To you, I just want to talk to you for a second. First, keep fighting. You should go to the grave striving every day to kill that bad habit, to talk more edifying language. You should daily Fight for that conformity to the character of Jesus Christ. Daily fight for that. Go to the grave working at that. It's the first thing. But I also want to tell you, this is you, and you're like, yeah, you're speaking right to me. That's not the only fruit that you should be looking for in your life. Practical lifestyle changes. Let me give you two more that are crucial. The first one was conformity, right? That's the first type of transformation. I'll give you another alliteration, not just the two T's, but I'll give you three C's. Conformity, that's a form of transformation in your life. Conformity, practically, to the living of Jesus Christ, and we would show that in our lifestyle. That's the first C. The second, though, is conviction. That's a fruit, is it not? That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that He would come into your life, and you would now be convicted of your sin. That's a fruit. So when you're struggling and you're like, I'm not getting any holier, I'm not living any better, I don't even know if I have fruit, so therefore I'm not sure I'm saved. Hear me, you might not see the practical outworking quite yet, but zoom out and look for the fruit of conviction in your life. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Some of the most transformed people that I know are not just the ones who have their external lives under control, but are brokenhearted and deeply disturbed by the sin that they see in their life. That's another fruit that you can see. Conformity, conviction, confession. It takes a sanctified person to practically kill the sin in their life. Amen. But how many of you know it takes an equally sanctified person to confess the sin that they're currently struggling with to other people? It takes an equally sanctified person to admit, I haven't fixed this part in my life practically, but I'm going to confess it to somebody and say, I'm still struggling with this. That takes a sanctified person, a transformed person in Jesus Christ. That's a fruit. That's a fruit. So notice the three C's here that I mentioned. Conviction. It's personal, internal struggle and hate for sin, conviction. Confession, you tell people relationally of the sin that you're currently struggling with. And then conformity, killing that sin, replacing it with a holy, new lifestyle. Three C's all are fruits of being in a relationship with God every day. So when can you expect to see fruits in your life? The text says, let's go to the text. The gospel, which has come to you as indeed the whole world, it is and is bearing fruits and increasing among you as it also has among you, when? Since the day that you heard it and you understood the grace of God in truth. Okay, so that's when we start to see the fruits of the gospel in our life, when we hear it and when we understand it. For the Colossians, we know that they heard it through Epaphras. That's the next two verses, verses 7 and 8. Let me read them real quick. Just as you learned it from, you heard it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras made it known to them. They heard of the gospel through Epaphras. That's the first step. When it comes to, if you want to see fruit, you want to see transformation, you need to hear about the gospel. But then you need to understand it. Isn't that what it says? Which is bearing fruit and increasing among you ever since the day that you heard it and you understood the grace of God and truth. I'll just say it, you should not expect fruit in your life. One, if you don't hear it, if you don't hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you don't hear about Him who sanctifies and makes new, if you don't hear about Him, don't expect any life change. So we have to get out there and tell people. They have to know it first. There's someone who can make them new, but don't expect life change and fruits in your life if you don't understand what you just heard. That's important to know. You can't just hear it. You have to know it. You have to understand it. I think a fault of the church, you and I, sometimes is just saying, well, we told them, we got it out there, put it on a billboard, Jesus saves, but no one knows what in the world that means. We got to go out there and make them understand it, put it in the guts of who they are, in the depths of who they are. I think that's why so many kids graduate out of faith when they graduate out of high school. They were told all this churchy language, the blood of Jesus Christ covers you. They have no idea what that means. We need to tell them those things, yes, but help them understand what does it mean to be saved, to be made new in Christ Jesus, that he died for them sacrificially, taking their place on the cross, unpacking all of that. Otherwise, we should not expect them to continue on every single day serving God because they heard it, but they didn't understand. But if you understand, and it's not just this vague understanding, but it's rich and impactful, deep in who you are, you should expect lifetime effects of transformation. All right, I go on really long, get passionate about it. Let me wrap this up, put a pretty bow on it. Salvation has a daily impact on us. It should. That's what Paul's saying here. Colossians 1, 3 through 8. Salvation should have a daily impact on us. It should lead us to constant thanksgiving, regardless of your circumstances. Regardless of what's going on, would you be thankful in Jesus Christ today? For he's the one that gives you hope that's stored up in heaven for all of eternity. It should be a daily fruit, and salvation should also lead daily to transformation in how you live. Whether that be conviction, confession, or conformity to the image of Christ, would we be made new and see fruit every single day because of our salvation? One last thing. Would you be moved by the good news that you live by? Christian, I'm talking to you. Would you be daily moved by that truth? That you are saved, you are redeemed, you are bought. Would you fill your life with thanksgiving in the ups and in the downs? Would you fill it every day when you walk out these doors with thanksgiving? And would you grow in all kinds of fruit? To those of you who don't know Christ Jesus today, let me finish with talking to you. God offers joy, and he offers thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that can persist and be sustained through any life circumstances. He offers thanksgiving to you. That you could be a thankful person in the hardest of times, he offers that to you. And he offers strength for you to be transformed out of the lifestyle that you currently live in. He produces the fruits in you when you come in relationship with him. So find thanksgiving in God. Find life transformation in God. I implore you, find God and know him. If you don't know what that looks like, come pray with me. I'm going to be right down here just a second. Come pray with me or come talk to me in the week in the office. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your salvation. We want to be a thankful people. And we want to serve you every day with the fruits that you produce within us. Help us worship you now as we end this service, giving praises to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.